Welcome, creatives, art lovers, and dreamers, to Somewhere and Elsewhere, where we uncover stories from artists across the coastal region.
I'm Terrell Williams.
And I'm Kevin Lee Y. Green, and we are the host here on the Shoresides program, Somewhere and Elsewhere. Today, we are with Miss Regina McLeod, who is a longtime friend of mine and creative. Thank you, Miss Regina, for joining us.
You're more than welcome. I'm happy to be a part of your program. Thank you.
So, Miss Regina, full disclosure, I probably will refer to her as Miss Regina. I've known her for quite some time, and I am actually currently working with her on a project, which we'll get to at some point in this interview. Could you please tell the guests about yourself and the amazing work you do as an artist?
Well, first of all, you need to know that I hate talking about myself. but I will do my very best. And I'm going to add to the fact that, you know, in our early beginnings of our acquaintance, to just let the audience know that I have been stage manager for you for a number of your shows that you did.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And that was always a fun and thrilling thing to do. And you know, working with you and working with your crew and the wonderful cast members on all the different shows that you've done. So that's and that goes back. But for me, my humble beginnings, you know, started in theater and started as an actress. But you know, moving out to Los Angeles, that was that whole thing about everybody's an actor and nobody's working. I didn't wait tables. Instead of doing that, I got involved on the production end of things. And my first, I guess, my foray into the film and television was actually working on a Stevie Wonder music video. And then from there, little tidbits of information that you may not have known. And then from there, I actually ended up working for Stevie for his production company that he had at the time called Third Eye Films, and then working for Propaganda Films and Lighthouse, and and then started working on feature films. So and then every now and then going back to acting. So I've always liked being on the production end of things as well. But I did go to school for communication and concentration in theater. And so I do love the theater. And I always end up back some way involved with theater in between the feature films and in between the television shows. Yeah.
Well, I must say that if anyone gets the opportunity to see Miss Regina on stage or on film, you are in for an experience. I can't even describe, I won't describe it as like a great performance. I'll describe it as an experience, because she really embodies whatever it is she's doing.
She really throws herself at the energy and the work of it. Yeah, so it's really cool. What initially sparked your interest in this field?
You know, it's just always been there since I was a child. I can't even tell you the beginnings of it, but I've just always wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, I was that child that when the parents had friends or family that came over, you know, I was always the one who was trying to entertain and be in the center of the room performing some fashion or another. So, and I was that kid who was always like, let's put on a show in my backyard, or, you know, let's put on a play. So that was always me. And I was always comfortable doing that. And in my early years, and thank goodness it was the early years, and it stopped like Little Miss America performing in a pageant, and my talent. I decided to sing a song. I sang Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Imagine that.
Imagine that. It takes me.
But
It takes me back to my childhood. I used to do puppet shows, and like I was the I was Blue's Clues before I knew what Blue's Clues was.
Amazing, right? Right, just the creativity involved in it all, and just wanting and just being a crafty person, and being someone who's really good in the culinary arts. You know, it's just like it's all art form. So yeah, that's just always been there.
I got a heavy one, a heavy question for you.
Shoot.
What pivotal moment or experience in your life significantly shaped who you are today, and how did you grow from it?
Oh my gosh.
I told you it was heavy.
That is a very, very heavy question. Oh my gosh, I don't even know if I could really even answer that. I feel like I've been flying on autopilot all my life. Just so, oh my goodness. Well, I think it might have been, and this is something that's really small, but it speaks volumes. And that was me working behind the scenes on production, and I was working on the Five Heartbeats as a production assistant, but I still had that desire to be in front of the camera or to be, you know, on stage. And I remember that I brought Robert Townsend, who was the director, some fresh squeezed orange juice one morning. And, you know, that was my job. That's what I was supposed to do, you know, make sure everyone was comfortable or see, you know, what was needed. And he made such a big deal out of that cup of fresh squeezed orange juice. He was just like, you squeeze this for me? You did this for me? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, and this fresh squeeze it by hand. And I was just like, yeah, I did. And he was like, wow, thank you. He was just like, well, if there's anything that I could do for you, let me know. And I'm like, this is the director of this movie saying this to me. And me and my 20 something year old self said, well, if I could get some lines in the movie, I'd like to get my SAG card. So maybe if you can give me some lines. And he was like, sure, no problem, done.
Oh, wow.
I wish it was that easy.
And so that's exactly what happened. I mean, we went on shooting for weeks, but he did not forget that he had he told me that. And I did get those lines. And I thought I was going to end up on a cutting room floor, but I worked post-production and the editor was like, no. He was like, when you come on, you light up the screen. He was like, no, I'm not going to get rid of your scene. And so then I guess what it really taught me was, you know, at that age, you know, early on, even in the industry, that you really got to put yourself out there to ask for what you need. You know, don't be afraid to speak up. Also, you know, doing it respectfully. And, you know, this is an industry at that time that was heavily, heavily dominated by white males. And the industry has changed a lot since then, but still, and you've got to know pretty much what you want, the direction you're going, and not being afraid to put yourself out there and ask for what you want.
Tell us about your company and who does it serve?
So Cloud9 Productions, which is like a play on my last name, McLeod, and it's spelled C-L-E-O-D, and then the spelling out the word nine, Productions. It's pretty much a one-woman show. I mean, it depends on what I'm doing. And, you know, I get people on board producing-wise or crew-wise, and I've done some short film projects with that, which I've directed and that have been in some of the film festivals, and then also some theater works. And basically, since I moved to the Wilmington area, I've noticed that, you know, we don't really have a lot going on as culturally in the arts, you know, serving the way that we should. Definitely not like I've seen in New York where I grew up, and not like in LA where I lived for quite some time. And my desire to continue to be a part of the creative arts community has like is the driving force that pushes me to do that, where Black and brown people can see themselves in terms of the art. And it's just been about telling the stories that I know and that some of the people that I know and that we're familiar with, and putting them out there so that everyone can experience that and see what's going on, not just within the community culturally, but within our culture in itself and within our families and within our experiences, to see that on the screen in some way, or, you know, in the theater on stage.
Well, how did you come to this work? You know, and, you know, what has sustained you through it?
I think the desire has really been a sustaining factor. The fact that I'm putting one foot in front of the other, and you know, just knowing that there's a need for it. I mean, it's not the most lucrative, which I know a lot of people can attest to that. It's and that's not the reason that we do it. Would I like to create something, a bigger vehicle that's done right here in Wilmington, where the film community and other local artists can benefit from? Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything does not have to be done in Hollywood. And there's, you know, Wilmington has that history. So it's, you know, it's just that true desire to, you know, express oneself, to be creative, and to include other people in the process.
What should your audience know about your work, and how can people get connected with you and that?
I think what they should know about my work is that it's going to be a thought-provoking experience. I believe that the subject matters and the themes that I choose do, I hope, you know, hopefully it makes a difference. I feel like it does. That it's not just going to be something that's on the surface level or a fly-by-night situation with storylines, with the subject matter. I like tapestries. And I like to weave tapestries within the plays and within the films and the storytelling, that it's just not, you know, there's Easter eggs. There are things that if you dig deeply, you'll be able to see that there's other things that are connected to it as well. So that's important to me. And it's, I think that if they can look deeply, they'll be able to see that and experience that, if that answered the question.
Is there a moment or story you want to share about the impact of your work on a participant, or that can help us understand, you know, what your work is about?
I did a short film called Beside the Still Water, mm-hmm. with the Port City Playwrights Project. And I think that that film has had an impact on people that see it. And, you know, the lead actress in that was a phenomenal actress, amazing actress, poet, activist, Joy James, Liberty the poet. And I don't think it's just because of her passing on from her battle with cancer, but just the fact that the subject matter of the film, I think that it impacts people on a deeper level. And anyone that's ever experienced the loss of a loved one and wondering or hoping for a positive outcome with them in terms of what's happening with them on the other side, or their transition to the other side. Hmm. I think I would choose that one as an example.
What are some barriers to participating in the arts for some of your participants, like some of your actresses or your crew members and things? What have you noticed have been the walls that have prevented them from getting involved in the arts?
I think it's been sustainability is probably one of the bigger issues on the table. And then there's also availability in terms of the roles and the work itself. And so sustainability being that when a film project is done or when a stage project is over, you know, whether there's a monetary value attached to that, you know, they're looking for work again once it's completed. And then availability being the roles, you know, most of the time the projects that I use are people of the projects that I have are, and the roles are usually more or less for people of color. Again, you know, dealing with telling our stories. And so I don't think that there's a really enough of that, or the fact that sometimes people are limited with the type of roles that are available for them and the types of film projects. And it has opened up, but it's not, it hasn't enough. And I think that a part of that are, you know, the establishment or the powers that be that basically say, hey, you know, these are the themes and the subject matters that we see that's making money or that gets the highest viewership. And so therefore we're going to stick with this formula, and they may not be as open to veering off that path when it comes to telling stories with people of color. You know, a lot of that circulates around trauma. And although we all know, regardless of what our culture back, you know, our culture is or what our background is, you know, we all experience trauma. But at the same time, it just seems that for people of color, that's a selling point.
What changes need to happen to the arts community? You know, this is a loaded question. And what would you like to see happen in coastal North Carolina?
I would like to see a little bit more, a lot more actually, of people being open-minded. And just in terms of really embracing the arts more, and then fostering that with the next generations that are coming up and training them, and not, you know, not having to deal with gatekeepers or you know, people that are, or organizations that are not being as inclusive as they can, you know, having that reflect pretty much the country and the world in which we live in. There are a lot of stories out there. Everyone has a story to tell. And, you know, it's just not entertainment. A lot of times, you know, it touches people. It helps people to have a little bit more insight into maybe some of the things that are going on in their own personal lives, or to be able to have an understanding what other people are going through that may look different than them. You know, to be a little bit more sympathetic. And in here in Eastern in Eastern North Carolina, you know, the arts have always been highly fostered in more urban areas. We know how it is in New York, we know how it is in Chicago, California, but even as far as film is concerned, you know, Georgia has come up really big. And, you know, there's been a lot going on in this area as far as film is concerned, as far back as, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. However, it still kind of have lagged a little bit because it's really been more of a hub. And I'd like to see where people are creating projects with more sustainability. And, you know, it's happening, but not to the level that it should, especially since how long, you know, the studio system has been here. There just needs to be more available grant-wise for people to feel like they can just delve a little bit deeper into their artistic venues and their artistic endeavors.
And this will be a really good time to also talk about not upcoming, because we've already opened for one weekend, but this will be a really good time to talk about your production, Shaking the Mess Out of Misery.
As Kevin said, that's called Shaking the Mess Out of Misery by Shay Youngblood. And I believe it's the first time that it's been done in this area. It's a play that I've had my eye on doing for a while. I've been doing a few of August Wilson's work and really, really love him as a playwright and plan to continue to work through his canon. But, I'm a Black woman, and August Wilson writes what he knows, which is mostly about Black men. And so there are few roles in there for women, but this play, Shaking a Mess Out of Misery, makes an ensemble of 8 women. And, it's an amazing story, which reflects a lot that goes on in the culture of a village of women coming together to help to raise a young girl. And so she's reflecting on her life and the lessons and the love that she received from these women within her community. And we are, just to add, we're in our second weekend of the production, and we have 3 more performances to go. Friday, April 12th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, the 13th, 7:30 p.m., and then our final show will be Sunday, the 14th at 3 p.m. at Dreams, Arts and Education, which is at 901 Fanning Street in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I'm really proud to be a part of this production and directing it. And there's really some phenomenal women involved in this. It's been a process getting through this and to this to this point, and they're all shining as a result of that.
And if you were listening, it's at Dreams Garage at 901 Fanning Street, and you can purchase the tickets either on Eventbrite or you can purchase them at the door, and we are taking cash and credit cards. Well, Miss Regina, this has been a delightful conversation. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Okay, it wasn't as painful as I thought it was gonna be, but thank you. You guys have been very gracious hosts. I really appreciate it.
Join us again next time as we share more stories and continue hearing stories from across coastal North Carolina's arts community.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Somewhere and Elsewhere. And listening to Miss Regina, we're reminded that it's very important that we go for the things we want and that we continue to create platforms for underserved and people of color voices to be heard as artists of color. Until then, keep your hearts open, your minds curious, and your spirits adventurous. This is Kevin, signing off from Somewhere and Elsewhere. Safe travels, fellow arts lovers. Somewhere and Elsewhere is a podcast of Shoresides. Learn more about our work at www.shoresides.org.